team. Nobody do it like us, kings of the sports list. Cause we tell it like it is, yeah, we the sports king. So listen to us, we tell it all. From hockey to golf to basketball, we the sports king. Nobody do it like us, kings of the sports list. Cause we tell it like it is, yeah, we the sports king. So listen to us, we tell it all. From high school to college to pro ball.
Tuned into Sports Kings Radio. Welcome to our Wednesday edition of Sports Kings Radio. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit of NBA hoops with you. Generally, our Wednesday show is going to be committed to the NFL, a little bit of football talk, but we kind of hit a couple of snags and we decided to go with a little bit of basketball here, which would be great for you guys with the draft coming up Thursday and everything. So I'm Andy Flint. And with me tonight is my old partner in crime from our King's Court days on Blog Talk Radio, Frank Santos. How's it going, Frank?
Good. Getting the band back together. I'm excited.
I know. I feel like the Beatles right now.
I'm McCartney.
I mean, that's fine. I'll be John Lennon, but I'm not
yet. Get shot.
Yet. Not yet. We got to wait until at least after the show. So there's been a lot of speculation of trades and this and that in the NBA. This is what you would expect a couple of days before the draft here. And I want to remind everybody that we record this show the day before. So right now it's Tuesday night. We're recording this show and you'll be listening to it on Wednesday if Jason Whitney can work his magic and get the podcast up. So let's kick right into this rumor mill here, as I like to call it. And we'll talk a little bit about your boy, Paul Pierce. That's your boy, right?
Oh, that is not my boy at all. I disowned him years ago.
All right, so the rumors, I've heard everything from Paul Pierce being cut by the Celtics, and then him, you know, finding his way to his boy Doc Rivers in L.A. with the Clippers. But it seems like the Cavaliers have some interest in Paul Pierce, and why not? I mean, but what I read earlier was kind of alluding to the fact that Paul Pierce only wants to play, or only will play, for a contender. So, you know, at the young, tender age of 35 years old, you know, I don't see, I mean, he'll be 36 by the time the season starts. So he turns 36 in October, October 13th. So, I mean, what do you see the likely? I think the likelihood of Paul Pierce going to Cleveland is probably out of it at this point. I mean, I can't see him going to play for the Cavs, who won 6 games in the last 4 seasons combined. But where do you think Paul Pierce could land that he would actually play if, in fact, he's only going to play for a contender?
I mean, I see the scenario where he gets, they buy out his contract, or they amnesty him, or, you know, they do whatever. And he ends up with the Clippers with Doc Rivers. I think that's a shame though, because I think he'd be great in Cleveland. You know, it bothers me that some of these guys don't take the mentor role late in their years. Like a guy like Grant Hill, you know, kind of went to a couple teams where he probably knew he couldn't win, like with Phoenix, but he kind of wanted to, you know, pass on what he's learned in this game to like the younger kids. And I think Paul Pierce could definitely do that for Kyrie Irving. And I think that'd be his greatest option. I would enjoy watching Paul Pierce, you know, late in his career, you know, with Kyrie, and they're giving the Heat like fits in like a 6-game series in the first round or something like that, you know, like really giving Kyrie just this great playoff experience. All that being said, I don't see that happening. I don't think he'll change his stance from wanting to play for a contender. I think obviously Doc Rivers makes a lot of sense. I think Chris Paul's definitely staying in LA, and I mean Paul Pierce, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin. I don't think that gets it done personally. I mean, that's my way too early prediction. I don't think that gets it done against OKC, but that's how I see it playing out. I definitely see him with the Clippers. One thing I'll tell you is he's definitely out of Boston. Like, that's over. There ain't no way he's playing with the Celtics.
So how about we get real hypothetical here, and there's been a couple of moves mentioned involving Eric Bledsoe. The one I'll name the one first. That's they were talking about something about the Pacers and Danny Granger. Although I don't, if you're the Pacers, I don't think you trade Danny Granger for Eric Bledsoe, just because I feel like George Hill's kind of got that for what they need at this point. And I think if Danny Granger comes back healthy, I feel like that team's going to be a little more scary than they were this season. But the other scenario, and we'll talk about this one second because I like this one, was Eric Bledsoe for Aaron Aflalo from the Magic.
Yeah, and I like that.
I like it as a Magic fan personally because I like Bledsoe. And Jameer Nelson's not getting any younger or any better. And in Aflalo, actually, that's great for the Clippers too because they don't have a shooting guard. Who was their starting shooting guard last year?
Ready? Big boy Willie Green, no, man.
Willie Green.
Unreliable.
And then you have Jamal Crawford coming off the bench, and that would still happen. But you would have Aflalo, and I think Aflalo's a nice player. But imagine if you could get Aflalo in there, okay? So now you've just – and a lot of people are like, well, you know, people might like Bledsoe better than Aflalo, which is fine because I like Bledsoe better than Aflalo. But the thing you got to understand is Bledsoe's not your starter with Chris Paul there. So then you get Chris Paul, and then you have Aflalo, and then the Paul Pierce thing – comes to fruition. So then you have Chris Paul, Aaron Aflalo, Paul Pierce, your boy Blake Griffin, and I mean, I guess is DeAndre Jordan stuck there now because they can't trade with Boston? The Los Angeles Clippers and the Boston Celtics are never allowed to trade ever again. ever again until David Stern's gone, which thankfully for them will be very soon. Unless Adam Silver decides that he's never going to let them trade again either. Is that, real quick off topic, is that not the most ridiculous thing that you've ever heard?
I love when David Stern does things that blatantly, like, no other commissioner would ever be able to do, but he just kind of gives you that look like, what are you going to do about it? Like, I'm David Stern, I run things here.
It's the George W. Bush look. It's the, you know.
I picture David Stern as like Denzel Washington from Training Day, just like tearing everything down. And like people are like, what are you doing? And he's just like, I don't care. I run things here. You just live here. That's it. Yeah. That's what I said. But no, it's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. Like if they want to make deals, they got to be able to make deals. You can't tell teams they can't trade with other teams. But I mean, apparently you can.
And isn't that deal, though, beneficial to both teams? I personally think it is because I think – DeAndre Jordan gives Boston some youth to go with Rondo. And I feel like DeAndre Jordan's kind of a perfect player to play with Rondo at the center position. And then the Clippers, a team who can win now, potentially, they get, you know, a crafty vet and a guy who's going to help Blake Griffin along in his career. He's going to say, hey, Blake, instead of letting guys knock you around, you hit them in the junk. Because that's what KG does. So I feel like that's going to help move along. But, yeah, David Stern, man, I mean, what's he doing there? He's just, like, he's going nuts, and I don't think there's anything anyone can do about it. Nobody, you know, who's saying something?
I think it's just his last-ditch effort. It was just, like, his crowning moment. Like, I just want everybody to know before I leave that I am still the man.
That's it. Like, I have
walk
the biggest,
out on top.
I have the biggest unit in the room. What are you going to do about it? Like,
Exactly.
That's just what I see here. So that's crazy. So Paul Pierce going to the Cavs, probably not going to happen. You like it. I'm not opposed to it. I think if I'm Paul Pierce, and it might kind of suck because I'm not going to win a championship there. And, you know, these older guys, sometimes, you know, I can't see Kobe saying, yeah, I'll go to the Bobcats for my last season. No big deal. So I think, you know, Pierce, obviously I understand him wanting to go to a contender. You know, I still like Paul Pierce, and it never happened, and it probably never will. I still would have liked Paul Pierce in Memphis, I think, quite a bit. But, you know, they got Tayshaun Prince instead. Yep. What's wrong? Tayshaun Prince is always screwing things up. He screwed up Carmelo Anthony in Detroit. And he screwed up Paul Pierce in Memphis. Ugh.
I think David Stern should just cut Tayshaun Prince from the league. Just make him illegal. I mean, if you can tell teams they can't trade, you can tell teams they can't sign players. I think that would be David Stern's lying imprint in the league. Just be like, Tayshaun Prince, he's gone. That's it. Nobody can sign him. He's done.
Stern's tomorrow. His write-up tomorrow is going to be, Dwight Howard goes to the Heat. I don't care. That's what's happening. And then, and Chris Paul's going there too. So, you can't do anything about it because I do whatever I want. But let's move on to the next one. And this was one you brought to my attention because I hadn't even seen it. Was Kevin Love And actually, this article words it really well. Cavaliers reportedly tried to pry Kevin Love from the Timberwolves. What do they have, a crowbar? I wanted to pry that mustache off his face that he had.
Oh man, that was the season. That was gross.
Oh man. So let's. Okay, so how do we look at this? Kevin Love with Kyrie Irving, and they were gonna. I don't know what they were gonna give him. I assume they were gonna say we'll give you the 1 and the 19 pick. I hadn't even opened the article yet. I was just reading the headline. Oh yeah, look at that. How intelligent am I? The 1 and the 19 pick.
Well, it was more than that. They were gonna give him Tristan Thompson and Deion Waiters too.
Oh wait. No. I read that wrong. You were correct, sir. That was talking about a different trade that we'll get to in a second. Yep, the number one pick, Tristan Thompson, whoever that guy is, and Deion Waiters. So, I mean, you get the one pick and you get Waiters. I don't really care about Tristan Thompson at all. What do you think about this whole deal for both teams?
I think it's really tough. The part that makes me think that the Timberwolves should consider it is only that fiasco with Kevin Love's contract. What was it, last year or something like that? Isn't Kevin Love's contract like up next year or something like that? And he wanted an extension, and David Kahn and his brilliant GM-ness was like, I don't know if that's a good move for us. I don't know if we should get the best player on our team a max contract when we can lure all these great free agents to Minnesota. Idiot. Anyways.
Well, he can opt out after the 2014-15 season.
Yeah, so I mean, he's got
so
2 years.
So in 2 years, left. Yeah.
See, and I think the bitterness, you know, of that whole thing, I think he might bolt. So I mean, and you never want to wait until you know a guy's leaving to try and trade him, as you and Orlando Magic fan are certainly aware of, Dwight Howard, hard dose. But, you know, I think they should consider it just for that reason. I think it's a lopsided trade. I think the Cleveland Cavaliers are definitely getting the better end of it. But at the same time, if you have that kind of feeling that Kevin Love might leave, then you got to pull the trigger as soon as you can and get the most that you can for him. For the Cavaliers, it's a great trade. I mean, you got Kyrie Irving, you got Kevin Love. That's what you want. That's what you build around. That's how you make a championship contender. I mean, that's Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. You know what I mean? It's that kind of duo where these dudes are just going to eat teams up. I mean, they're a top four team in the East with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving alone.
Well, the thing is if I'm Minnesota, I have to look at this as, first of all, Cleveland's doing exactly what I would do in a fantasy league with Deion Waiters. He had a pretty good start there to last season, to his rookie season. You know, he showed some things. I mean, what did he make? He was like 25 of 25, his first 25 threes he shot. Something ridiculous. Like, the guy was going nuts for a while. So they said, he had a pretty good first year, probably better than people expect. He had a better first year than I thought he would. Personally.
Oh, definitely. I thought so, too.
So they're doing that stock is high thing, so we'll try to trade him off. So we're just going to ask for Kevin Love. And then – but the thing for me, if you're Minnesota, is who do you take with the first pick if you have it? That's my question, is I don't think they take Alex Len, who a lot of people – he's shot up the boards and people are talking about now because, I mean, you have Pekovic there, and he's, you know, turned into almost a household name at this point. And – then, I mean, you don't draft a guy like Trey Burke, obviously, because you have Ricky Rubio. So do you go for the hurt Nerlens Noel and try to fit him in somewhere? Does this mean Derek Williams gets a bigger role? I just don't know who they would draft for that first pick. Does that first pick even suit them at this point? Or do they have to, you know, defer down the line so much that they might as well not have the first pick?
I think it's that. I mean, I think it's that option. I think Noel's not really a great fit either for them.
And I don't think anybody they could justify with that first pick is a good fit.
I mean, the only really person would be Otto Porter, but I don't think Otto Porter is a first pick, personally. I know you and I kind of disagree about that a little bit.
No, we don't disagree. I don't think he's the first pick at all.
Well, I mean, in terms of how good he's going
to
be.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, for me, I'd pick Victor Oladipo, but that's just me. I mean, that dude's, like, going to be Dwayne Wade. That's just my opinion. Anyways. But I agree with you. I don't think it's beneficial for Minnesota to have the first pick. You know, I don't see it in the cards for them. Not in this draft. I mean, there's no can't miss first pick where you're like, oh, I gotta have that dude number one. So it's not worth it. Not to get rid of Kevin Love.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things that just seems far-fetched. And if you're Cleveland, bravo. I mean,
yeah. Oh, you got to try.
Tomorrow morning, I think they should offer waiters the 1st and the 19th for LeBron James and see what happens. Just roll it. Just be like, we're getting him back. He's coming here. And we're not losing Kyrie. So, you know, another one that I saw here, while we're on a bit of a roll, was this one hurts my feelings a little bit. I know it's going to hurt you too, Frank. What are the Bobcats doing shopping Michael Kidd-Gilchrist? And the reasoning is what you're really going to hate is the fact that they're saying that they believe they can draft Otto Porter.
That hurts. It literally hurts me. We were talking about this a little bit before the show here. I don't understand what's going on with these teams. It's the same thing with Thomas Robinson, who's apparently going to be on like his 15 by the time the season starts.
No.
Even though he's like in the league for like 3 days. But I don't understand. Like, you draft a guy with the second pick, and after 1 year, which was kind of impressive, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist wasn't bad last year. Like, he got some double-doubles here and there. Dude's 19 years old. He's straight raw. And, I mean, he's got all the ability in the world. And you're just like, he wasn't LeBron James in his rookie year, so you're just going to be like, this kid sucks. Let's draft Otto Porter and see how this works out. Then Otto Porter's going to average like 12 points, and you're going to trade him. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Stick with MKG. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, he's the next thing, man. He's going to be when he develops and gets and learns how to play basketball in the NBA, like, I don't think really people realize like how many of these kids just like get by on just straight talent. Like, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist played in the NBA last year just on purely athleticism and what he knows what to do with his body. He probably didn't even know a single play that the Bobcats ran. He probably wouldn't even know, like, if they were like, oh yeah, run the Trey Deuce, he's like, what the hell does that mean? I'm just going to run to the basket, hope somebody throws it to me. And he got 12 points and like 10 rebounds just doing that. I mean, once you learn the game, the kid's going to be ridiculous. I don't understand it. I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, and he averaged 9 points and about 6 rebounds, almost a block, close to a steal, and, you know, about an assist and a half in just 26 minutes a game. I mean, you know, those aren't outstanding numbers or anything, but it's not bad. And you're right, you brought up probably the best point you could possibly bring up is the fact that he's not as much of a basketball player as he is just an athletic guy. And he's a big dude, too. He has a big body, is a great NBA size at 6'7", 232. Size like that, to me, screams LeBron James. Guys, I know LeBron James. Everybody's, hey, LeBron James is 6'8", 250. I'll never believe LeBron James 250. I'm not giving that a second thought. So 6'7", 230, which could be 6'7", 220, is great size for the NBA. I mean, the kid's 19. I mean, who says he's not going to put on more muscle? And, I mean, I would guarantee he's going to put on more muscle. And you're right. Frank is right with the athleticism. I mean, pure athlete, you know, great build. And those numbers are going to go up. Will he ever be a superstar? I don't know. I like the kid. You know, we text, and, you know, he's a good dude. But, I mean, yeah, to give him up for the prospect of Otto Porter at this point, who I like. Don't get me wrong. I like Otto Porter. I think, you know, he's going to be a good player. But then I have to get to the part where do I think he's going to be a better player than Michael Kidd-Gilchrist? And right now I'm going to say no. I think Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is going to be a better pro than Otto Porter. And he's a great defender too, this Kidd-Gilchrist. In his first year, I mean, he showed some defensive chops.
Exactly.
You know, you said a lot of about him not really knowing what's going on within the plays, and I'm sure Charlotte's a mess too. I guarantee they're just screaming out stuff, and they don't even know what's going on. You know,
I remember there was one game where Charlotte won on like a last basket. I want to say it was against the Cavaliers. It's a really good game in the regular season, and they had the ball down 1 point with like 12 seconds left. It was literally the worst play I've ever seen run. Like, I think a bunch of 7-year-olds could have ran a better play on the court. Like, they lost the ball like 3 times in 12 seconds. I don't even know how. And they got it back and they won the game. It was like the most miraculous thing I've ever seen in my life. But it's just going to what you said. Like, it's a mess over there. And that was the same point I was going to bring up about Kidd-Gilchrist's defense. Like, once he learns how to play defense in this league, he's going to be a defensive stopper. Like, he's going to be that guy you put on LeBron. Not saying he can stop LeBron, because nobody can stop LeBron, but he's going to be the guy that has the assignment. He's going to be Kawhi Leonard, where you're just like, there's LeBron, do the best you can, and he's gonna do good. LeBron's still going to have like 25 and 10, but whatever. You're going to look at him and be like, oh, wow, he's giving LeBron fits on defense. He's going to be that kind of defender.
Absolutely. And I think he can be like a 17 or 18 and 7 or 8 rebounds type of player with that defensive stopper mentality. And I just don't – I mean, you don't really get that a lot. I mean, he reminds me of a guy who can be kind of like a Gerald Wallace. And I think I said this last year. And, those guys – I mean, Gerald Wallace had a lot of injuries, obviously, throughout his career. But if you can avoid that, that's one of those players. He's a glue guy, for one. And for two, like, you just don't get that. I mean, how many times do you get a guy who can score 25 or 22 a game, but they can't play defense? You know, you get these guys who – you get, like, a Ben Gordon who can put up 20, but he can't rebound or assist or do anything else. So, I think it's very undervalued what a guy like Kidd Gilchrist can give you. And, I hope they don't give up on him yet, but it seems like, you know, with the Thomas Robinson thing already, yeah, he's going to be on his third team in 5 minutes. So –
But my last point is, you know who's not going to be all the things we just described about Michael Kidd Gilchrist? Otto Porter. That's who's not going to be it.
No, he would be the exact opposite in my mind.
Right.
I think he has the ability to play great team defense because he has good length and stuff, but I think he's going to be more of a guy who can score in this league and maybe create his own shot, which I think are things that Kidd Gilchrist isn't really able to do. But, I mean, do you give up all the intangibles to get a guy? You know, there's a lot of guys in the league that can score. There's not a lot of guys that can do these other things. But let's move on to this last one real quick before we have to cut for commercial. And this last one was reported. Again, we're going to pick on the Cleveland Cavaliers here. The Cleveland Cavaliers apparently, and this is the one I got confused with the Kevin Love one. The Cavaliers reportedly offered the number one overall pick and the number 19 draft pick to the Portland Trailblazers for LaMarcus Aldridge, at which point the Portland Trailblazers immediately unplugged the phone and tossed it out the window. Frank?
I agree. I not only would have hung up the phone, I would have, you know, called the police and filed a restraining order. Just, you're not allowed to call me ever again. You know, if you get within 500 feet of a school, of my school, of any school, just have this man arrested. I mean, here's the fact for me. There's no player in this draft that's going to be as good as LaMarcus Aldridge, for one. I mean, I think LaMarcus Aldridge might be the most underrated player in the league. I think many people sleep on him. Like, they don't realize everything that he can do on the court. I mean, he's got post moves. And he's deadly from outside. And he carries that team, especially before Lillard got there. Like, he carried that team offensively for stretches. I mean, Nick Batum is like, forget it. Like, he's lost on offense sometimes.
Punching guys in the groin.
Yeah, he's just like hitting dudes in the junk and standing on the corner waiting to shoot a three. Like, that's all he does on offense. But, I mean, like I said, before Lillard got there, I mean, Aldridge was the guy. And I don't think there's anybody in this draft as good as him. But, again, for Cleveland, I mean, why not? Why not do it?
Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit before the show, too. And, you know, for me, I really do like LaMarcus Aldridge. I've agreed for a few years that I think he's one of the more underrated players. Definitely probably the most underrated big man in the NBA. And he does some nice things. The one thing I had said to Frank before the show was that I thought maybe if a guy like Noel was not ever injured with the ACL thing, and he was your clear-cut number one overall draft pick. And then, you know, you looked and you really did your research and you figured out who you could get a valuable piece to go along with a guy like Noel and Lillard at the 19 spot. Maybe you do it because maybe you think Noel can be an elite defensive big man in the league. That was the only thing I was trying to get across, because I think the one thing about Aldridge is I think he's a nice player. I think he has a nice stat line. But, and I said this to Frank right before the show, and I don't think there's never a point in watching a Portland game where I'm going, oh, LaMarcus Aldridge is taking over. I saw that more out of Damian Lillard in his rookie year than I've seen out of LaMarcus Aldridge in a few years. So While I think he's a great complementary piece to a team, I don't think he's your best player on a championship team. And
yeah,
I
don't think he has to be. I mean, if he's in Cleveland, he can be the second best player. Kyrie can be your best player.
Absolutely, and I agree with that. I'm just saying, I'm judging him against what they could possibly get. And I think I agree with you. It's not a matter of thinking. I'm not going to say any player in this draft is going to be better than LaMarcus Aldridge. Do I think it's possible? Sure. But would I wager on it? No, absolutely not. I think he's a very nice player. And, to me, there's just that lack of dominance. I've never seen a game where I saw him. And I'm sure people are going to, you Portland fans out there are going right now, I can name 10 games he took over. So fine. I'm sure I'm wrong on this. There's just never really been a game I've watched where I was like, oh, LaMarcus Aldridge, you can't stop him right now. So that was really my only point. I don't really have anything more to say on this.
I mean, the only other point I want to make is I think it's really smart for the Cavaliers to try and package this together and get a LaMarcus Aldridge or get a Kevin Love. Like, if you can get one of these guys, I mean, you got to do that. Because the other thing is, I mean, when you look at the 19 pick, at 19, there's not a lot of I don't think there's really anybody there that you're going to be like, oh, this dude's going to be starting for my team 2 years from now. I don't see much option at that 19 pick. It's pretty worthless to me.
Well, I think if you ask five people who are doing a mock draft, who's available, name me two guys you think are definitely available at 19, I think they'd all give you two different guys.
Right. Exactly. I completely agree.
All right. So what we're going to do here is we're going to take a short, very short, I promise, commercial break. We're going to bore you guys a bit with some of our site plugs here, and then we'll be right back. We'll kick off the second segment of our show here where we're going to talk a little bit about some more possible trade type stuff. We're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming draft here tomorrow. And, sit tight and we'll be right back. Looking for sports on the web but tired of the same old same? Head on over to www.sports-kings.com and get a fresh perspective on everything from the NFL to the NHL. Sports-kings.com has everything to feed your sports appetite. Check out Around the Rink for hockey, Pass the Pill for basketball, Reading Between the Seams for baseball, and Down a Distance for football. Come for breaking news, rumors, sports lists, and opinions by real sports fans for real sports fans. Check us out at www.sports-kings.com, the kings of the sports lists. All right, welcome back to Sports Kings Radio. We're going to kick off the second part of our night here, our day here on this lovely Wednesday afternoon. And we're going to talk a little bit of the NBA draft. Since the draft is indeed tomorrow, make sure you tune into that. So for anyone who didn't catch the first half of the show, I'm Andy Flint, and I have my esteemed colleague, Frank Santos, with me today. And let's jump right into this, Frank. I think we wanted to talk a little bit about, maybe our few favorite players from this upcoming draft tomorrow. And I think we settled on a number of three apiece.
We did.
So let's go. I'm going to let you kick it off with your three first, so then I can just copy your answers and I don't have to do any work.
Sounds good. I'm going to go from three to one. I'm going to climax. I'm going to build up here.
Don't say climax on the show.
Don't say climax. Is that not family friendly?
After you had Jason on the Monday show talking about how we want to, I don't think you've heard that yet. When you listen to that show, real quick, not to get off topic, but real quick, Jason went into this spiel for about 2 minutes where he was talking about, bringing writers in and stuff like that to Sports Kings, to our network and our writers, and how, we like to do these things, these incentives, like take trips and stuff like that. And it got really creepy. Like, there was a point where I don't know exactly what he said. I'm having trouble remembering, so I'm paraphrasing here a little bit. But he said something along the lines like, we'll get you guys, we like to get our writers to come up and we like to do stuff with them. And I was like, whoa. And before I could say anything, because I was about to chime in and be like, dude, that sounds weird, he was like, he realized what he had said. And then he was like, and maybe we can go on dates or something like that. And I was like, yeah, I'm glad you said it, because I was about to pause you out here and mute your mic and just let you know how creepy that sounded. Kind of sounded like we wanted to, get our writers into a room. Or it was weird, man. I don't know. Frank,
like a KY jelly situation? Is that what's going on here?
Frank can vouch for me here when I say we've never done anything like that at Sports Kings. But anyway, so let's jump in without the climax part, and you're going to go from 3 to 1, your favorite three players, let's say in the first round, the upper echelon of this draft.
Okay, I'll go with crescendo. I think that's the right term, when you crescendo to the top.
I'm not very educated, so.
I'm gonna botch the name, but it doesn't matter. Giannis Antetokounmpo from Greece. This kid's 18 years old, and just YouTube him. Just go on YouTube. Just type in the name. You'll know how to spell it. Just based on faith, you'll know how to spell it. It'll come to you. And this dude can do everything on the court. Like, he's athletic. He's like a Nick Batum build. You know, he's like long and lanky, but he's a better shooter, and he could dunk. He's like, I have what I like to call the YouTube man crush on him. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be like the greatest player to ever grace a basketball court in about 2 years.
Whoa.
Or he's going to let me just also preface that with the fact that I had a very similar man crush on Bismack Biyombo. Ah. So that
and
happened.
You just tore Batum apart in the last segment.
I did, but that's because he's like punching dudes in the junk. Giannis is very anti-junk punching. He told me that. We text.
Oh, so now you're texting. That's my line, Frank.
Yeah, but we text internationally. Like, you know, I reach out to Greece, man.
So you're paying more money. That's all you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Number two is, and I, in my mock draft, I took him late in the first round just to talk about him. And he's probably going to be a second round pick, but he shouldn't be. CJ Leslie out of NC State. The dude can do everything in the post. He's nasty. Like, he's got sick game. He could score. I mean, he can really light the basket up. I mean, he's got a nice mid-range game. His post game is ridiculous, but he's a little undersized. That's kind of what's drawing people back about him. But I really see him as the Draymond Green of this draft, which basically means, like, he's that dude where as soon as he takes him, I'm just going to be like, yep, that's the steal of the draft right there. Because he's going to be taken, like, in the second round like Draymond Green was. And it's the same. He has the same kind of career as Draymond Green. Like, he carried that NC State team completely. Like, they overachieved, in my opinion, and it was all because of him. My number one pick, my boy.
Shocker.
I know. Andy Flynn's not gonna be shocked by this at all. Victor Oladipo. I'm telling you, this kid. I feel like Dickie V right now. I'm just like, this kid, baby. I'm getting all excited.
You sounded just like him. That's so creepy. That's creepier than Jay's spiel on the last show.
I'm going to climax to the Dickie V. Oh, boy. Victor Oladipo he's going to be the best player in this draft, I think. I don't even think it's going to be close 3 years from now. I see him as being the, like, if you go back 3 years from now and everybody's always like, okay, if we could do this draft over, who would we pick? I think Victor Oladipo is going to be the number one pick. I mean, he's got – his game is very – I don't want to say it's raw, but it's kind of like I think he has – his ceiling is a lot bigger. I think he can definitely improve. He's got a defensive mentality. That's the first thing that's going to make him a great player, because I think it all starts on defense for him, where a lot of guys really starts on offense. And I think eventually if – the big if for me with him is if he can really develop a consistent jump shot. And for me, I know you and I have had this discussion, Flint. I think the easiest thing to fix in your game, like, if you can improve anything in your game drastically, it's your jump shot. Like, people always think that that's really hard to do, but that's really the thing that you can practice and you can improve on. There's a lot of things you can't teach. You know, there's a lot of things you can't really improve on. But your jump shot, you can fix your jump shot. Ask Jason Kidd. You can fix your jump shot.
Ask Derrick Rose. Ask LeBron James, even. I mean, yeah, it happens every day. There's every year. There's a player who fixes his jump shot. John Wall. He looked like he had a much better jumper when he came back from being injured.
And I think somebody's going to jump up to get Oladipo. I think somebody's going to, you know, really jump into the top three, top four to grab him. Okay. And they're going to be thankful that they did it.
So before I jump into my three, and I'll do my three the same way Frank did, I'll go from third to one. I do need to issue a public apology to perhaps my favorite player in this entire draft. That's my boy, Shane Larkin.
Oh, boy.
Because you will not be receiving mention in this top three.
That's a shocker. That's like if somebody picks CJ Leslie with the first pick right now. It's that kind of shocking.
You know what's going to happen with Shane Larkin? Let me tell you right now. Is I'm losing faith in him. And I'm losing faith a little bit because of what's happening. Because I read a lot of these mock drafts. And I know it's bad practice sometimes. But you can't tell me there's anyone in the world who tries to write about sports or analyze sports or even be a fan of sports who doesn't read other people what other people write and be influenced just a little bit by it. So as Shane Larkin continues to drop down these draft boards, I continue to kind of lose a little faith in it. And I hope it bites me in the ass. And I think it will. I think he's going to be a much better player than what he's getting credit for now. Incredibly athletic. So there's my little spot where I talk about Shane Larkin. But it's no more Shane Larkin time because I've got to pick my three. My first that I'm going to go with, my first I'm going to go with my number three is going to be Dennis Schroeder. That hurts me even more that I just picked a different point guard.
That's a grimy move, man.
Well, here's the thing. If Shane Larkin's listed at 6 foot, he's not 6 foot. I would say he's more 5'10". Schroeder, however, is listed 6'2", and I kind of believe that. I think he looks 6'2 to me. I think he's incredibly athletic. While Larkin's athletic too, I think Schroeder's athletic in different ways. Shane Larkin, too bad Shane Larkin's not 6'4". Because if he's 6'4", I'm calling him the next Russell Westbrook. But he's not. That's the thing. It's like he has so much leaping ability, and he's athletic that way, and it's not really going to help him at 5'10 or 5'11 or even 6 foot. Schroeder, though, is – have you seen this guy's, like, handle?
I have.
Like, in his side-to-side movement is ridiculous. And he's 19. And like I said, 6'2", I mean, if we even believe he's 6'2", or even 6'3", or 6'1", I mean, he's, you know, a little bigger. He's got the long arms, and I think he's going to be a ridiculous player. And being that, you know, he's from Germany, we tend to overlook these guys sometimes. And, you know, it's kind of a sad thing. And Larkin is, or not Larkin, Schroeder's actually shot up these boards a little bit. And I don't know. I've kind of, the more I've watched clips of Schroeder and read things about him, I've really started to, you know, just kind of fall in love with this game.
That always scares me, though. It always scares me when the international guys jump up on boards. Like, I want the guy that, like, the San Antonio Spurs select with, like, the 50th pick. I'm like, that dude's going to be nasty in, like, 3 years. Because they know something that nobody else knows about international players. I'm pretty sure they have, like, a notebook, like a nuclear launch code type notebook that nobody else has. On international players, but like when they jump up and like some team like the Jazz take them, no offense to the Jazz, we've already upset Jazz Nation enough, Andy Flynn. Oh, we don't need to go any further.
They hate me,
but I know they do. But it kind of scares me when they jump up like that. It makes me feel like there's like information they're getting from like an agent or something that's just not true.
As far as Jazz Nation goes, I'm fully expecting to receive my horse head in the mail anytime. Yeah, they're not a big fan of mine. I mean, that's what happens when you tell them that they're going to get Plumlee at 14. They really weren't a fan of that at all. But on to my number two. And I'm going with Anthony Bennett from UNLV. I think this guy has the potential to absolutely be the best player in this entire draft. The one issue I have with him is he kind of gives me that Derek Williams effect a little bit, as I don't know where he's going to play. Is he a small forward? Is he a power forward? But I do know that he's athletically unmatched. I mean, for his size. You're talking a guy who goes the 6'7", 6'8", and he's roughly 235, 240 pounds. Explosive hops. He does have a back-to-the-basket game, and he can shoot the ball. Like, what don't you want? I mean, the guy shot close to 40% from three-point range last season. I mean, he's just got this terrific upside. But again, I don't know where – I'm always scared of these guys a little bit, because you look at a Michael Beasley who played, you know, he was like – you couldn't hang with this guy rebounding-wise in college. He might as well have just played center. I mean, he's power forward, gobbled up everything. Comes in the NBA, and there's obviously he had to play that small forward position, and he could shoot the ball, but it just never translated very well. And the same thing kind of happens with Derek Williams. We saw him in spurts last season when he had the minutes because Kevin Love was out. But it's like, how does this guy fit long-term? And I hope that doesn't happen to Bennett. I think if he finds his place, which I truly think is power forward, and I think the way the NBA's kind of conditioned itself over the past 5 or 6 years now, that these smaller, you know, he's 6'7", players that don't necessarily, that can shoot the ball and stuff, they have a home at the power forward position. And he's definitely got the girth at close to 240 to do it. So that's my number two pick. Frank, care to tear this apart?
No, I understand what you're saying. I definitely do get that Derek Williams feel, though. Like, it's just, I don't know if he's going to fit. And it's always weird with these tweener guys, because you look at a guy like Paul George, for example. Like, I can see him, when he was coming out of the draft, I can see people saying he was a tweener. Like, is he going to play the two or is he going to play the three? He has the three build, but he's a two. Like, he's a shooting guard.
Yeah.
But it's worked out for him. And, I mean, it really upsets me, and it almost makes me cry to think that Anthony Bennett could probably be a power forward in this league, because I don't know if you know this, but the Knicks played a lineup in the playoffs last year where Steve Novak was playing center, and that's a real fact. Like, that really happened. And like,
but they were just trying to hide him, though. They didn't want him to really do anything.
But the worst part about it was that the Boston Celtics had to adjust. Like, they were the ones that made the adjustment. They didn't have anybody that could just abuse Steve Novak in the post, which means they had nobody that had any post game whatsoever, because I'm pretty sure I can back down Steve Novak. Steve Novak, if you're listening, meet me up, pick up game. I'll back you down. I'll back you down in the post, hit a nice hook shot over you.
Challenge accepted.
Even though you're like 8 inches taller than me, but you don't look it on TV. I'm just saying, I could still back you down. But no, I agree. I agree with the Anthony Bennett. I think he definitely has the potential. I could be wrong about this, but I thought there was some personality questions about his, kind of like his motor, you know, things like that. That always kind of turns me off a little bit, but you always kind of have to take that with a grain of salt. But otherwise, I mean, he's definitely got the ability.
Yeah, well, I like these guys that kind of don't care. Or I like the ones especially who care too much. DeMarcus Cousins, still my boy if you're listening.
Oh, boogie.
Boogie down. So I'll kick right into my last one real quick so we don't keep everybody waiting. And I know you guys, I'm going to get a lot of creativity points for this one, but my absolute favorite – well, not favorite player. Shane Larkin's my favorite player in the draft. But my absolute, you know.
You're really trying to make it up to Shane Larkin.
I am, man. I feel bad because I really do like the kid. But the guy who I would draft number one overall, regardless of what team I was the GM of, and that's Nerlens Noel. I see too much potential in the possibilities of him on defense. I mean, I feel like coming into the league, he's a superior defensive player to Dwight Howard, if that means anything to you guys. Now, you basketball heads out there should immediately bring up the fact that Dwight Howard now isn't what Dwight Howard was defensively when he came into the league. Quite a big difference, actually. I mean, he was a good rebounder. Frank, we talked about this earlier. Dwight Howard was a pretty great rebounder when he came into the league, and he had great size. The thing about Noel is he doesn't really have the size. Roughly 200, 210 pounds, soaking wet. But he's a little taller, 7-footer. And, I mean, I think he's a superior athlete to Dwight Howard. I really do. I mean, the ACL thing, yeah, that hurts. But I just feel like the kid really – to me, if I look at all these players in this draft, and I think the one to me that's kind of a can't miss, at least defensively, which I think means a lot in the league, it's going to be Noel. And I think – you know, he's going to be able to live a little bit. I mean, because Dwight Howard still doesn't have an established offensive game yet. The guy can average over 20 points in a season. So I think it's not too far-fetched to say that Noel, with his athleticism and his defensive prowess, that's going to translate into some good things on offense. Now, I'm not going to go out there and say that he's eventually going to be a 20-12 guy, but I certainly think that, you know, 15-12 is not out of the realm of possibility with a couple of block shots at least a game. I mean, I think this guy can be a real difference maker for a good team, and I don't know. He's just a guy to me. I feel like I really hope the Orlando Magic can get him. I don't know that they will be able to, but yeah. Here's to hoping.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see what you're saying. I mean, I disagree with it. I just think he'll have trouble scoring in this league. I think long term, I don't know if he'll. I mean, Dwight Howard scores in this league, and I mean, he does most of his work on putback. I don't think Noel has that kind of game where he's going to overpower you offensively like Dwight Howard does. I mean, Dwight Howard grabs rebounds, dunks the ball, and that's it. Like, that's his offense, pretty much, except for, like, the one post move that he has that for some reason people still can't defend. Like, he's only got the one post move. That's all he's got, and he's been in the league for, like, 20 years already. Dwight Howard, step your game up. What are you doing here? But, no, I definitely agree with you on the defensive end. The only part that scares me is I mean, a lot of people said that about Anthony Davis last year. Oh, you know, he's dominant defensively. That's going to translate right in. And, I mean, granted, he had injury issues, you know, in his rookie year, but I saw a pretty fair amount of Hornets games with Anthony Davis on the floor, and he never looked dominant defensively at all. I mean, he looked lost defensively, to be honest, at times, more so than dominant. And I've seen a lot of comparisons, and not that it's a terrible comparison. Like, if you can have a career like this guy, I mean, a lot of people compare Nerlens Noel to Dikembe Mutombo. I mean, Dikembe Mutombo is great. I mean, if you can have Dikembe Mutombo's career, then you had a good NBA career. But Dikembe Mutombo never could really score offensively for you, ever. And I think Noel will very much be like that, where he can dominate. And I don't see him being able to dominate the way Mutombo did, because Mutombo could take over a game defensively. I see Noel being able to dominate in stretches, you know, like a six-minute period where, like, he's just too much to handle on the defensive end. He's, you know, changing shots all over the place. But I just see him struggling to score in this league, and I don't know if he'll ever have that defensive, like, overpowering defensive game.
Well, opponent's field goal percentage against him last season was 47.6%, which is the lowest, I mean, you know, which is last in opponents. So, I mean, it's a pretty good defender. The one thing I want to say about Dikembe Mutombo is, do you think Dikembe Mutombo could have scored points in this NBA?
Right. Probably. Now. Yeah, well, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Because, I mean, I think with Dikembe, just his size in general, I think he probably could. Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely. How many is the thing I see with Noel, and we know, I mean, we agree that offense is not a strong suit whatsoever. But the thing I see, and I think Dwight Howard gets by on this too. And I think Dwight Howard's 6'9". I mean, we saw the picture with Kareem, right?
Right.
There was like 4 or 5 inches in there. So the thing with Dwight Howard is he obviously has the strength. Noel doesn't have that. And Howard had that coming into the league. I mean, you just saw, and Howard was quite a bit smaller actually than he is now, but you just saw his build. Like, why are your shoulders 6 feet apart? I mean, I never understood that. Like, that's just growth for muscle. Noel doesn't really have that build to him. But the thing I see with him is the fact that he's 7 foot tall, okay? So, first of all, how many centers are 7 foot tall in today's NBA as starting centers? Half? Are even half of them 7 foot tall?
It's starting to improve a little bit over the past couple years, as opposed to, like, maybe 3 years ago. It was I mean, the center position was really dying 3 years ago. But then you had guys like Hibbert and Lopez kind of come into the league, and that's kind of made it.
How many of these 7 foot centers? How many of the 7 foot centers have the height and the athleticism? It's kind of a rare thing. That's right. The one thing I like about him is he has the size height-wise, and he has the athletic ability. So I feel – and, you know, I said the same thing about Andre Drummond last year, and Drummond goes about 6'11", and he has the long arms. He just had a lot of height and a lot of athleticism, and we kind of saw that come into its own a little bit with Drummond at the end of the year, where he would get guys on the block, and even though he didn't really have a slew of offensive moves – he kind of could just turn and dunk the ball.
Right.
And I really feel like – I almost think if Noel puts on – he's going to need to put on 25 pounds. He's going to have to go 230 at least. But I feel like he can just be one of those guys where you can throw – you're obviously going to be able to throw him lobs. But right. I think he – you know, and obviously some of this is going to depend on his knee, because we're not talking, you know, a bruised bone here. We're talking an ACL. Out the window, but
I mean, the other thing that bothered me about Noel is that Kentucky underachieved last year, and that really kind of bothered me. You know, I mean, you got all these guys with great talent. All you needed was not all you needed, but you really needed one guy to really step up and be the leader of that team, and nobody, including Noel, really did it. But I think the other good thing for him is I think he'll definitely be one of those players in the league, especially if he goes to Cleveland, that one he'll be one of those players that really benefits from playing with a really good point guard. Like, if he plays with Kyrie Irving, he's going to get easy buckets. And, I mean, you can average, like you're saying, 15 and 12. You can be closer to that. You can be 12 and 10, something like that, just playing with Kyrie Irving, because you're getting half, if not 80% of your points, just with Kyrie penetrating, three guys going to him, you're just getting the, you know, the bunny putback.
Yeah, and I mean, I think an unfair assessment sometimes with these, especially with big guys, because you kind of said it without saying it, is big guys aren't really necessarily looked to for a ton of offense in the league. Now, let's talk about a guy real quick who is just in the spotlight a lot in the postseason here. And I think you know where I'm going with this. A guy who just got a big max offer to him. It was matched. We're talking about Roy Hibbert.
I knew you were going there.
Okay.
Yep.
How many people, and I think you probably agree with me where I don't believe this, but how many people, you know, think that Roy Hibbert is a justified max player in the league? I don't really think he is. I wouldn't give him a max deal.
Right. I agree. But
a lot of people, I think more people would give him a max deal than not. And you're talking, I mean, I won't even get unfair and talk about his career numbers, but I'm saying this season he averaged just under 12 points a game and just over 8 rebounds with about 2.5 blocks. So I think Nerlens Noel can do that, at least that.
That's fair. I guess you're kind of turning me a little bit here. I guess considering the state of the center position of big guys in this league, and just thinking about what a guy like Roy Hibbert did last year, and I mean, Roy Hibbert played out of his mind in the play. What we saw in the playoffs was not Roy Hibbert. Like, anybody that's watched Roy Hibbert play a game of basketball, you were like, who is this dude on the court right now? how did he get here? Where did he come from? You felt like it was like a Cliff Chris Paul situation. You're like, is this his twin? Where's Roy Hibbert? Is he in the crowd? But, you know, and because the one thing about Roy Hibbert, you know, normally is that he doesn't play his size. You know what I mean? Like, he's one of those guys that, like, puts the ball down when he gets the rebound, and you're just like, dude, you're 7'2". Play 7'2". Absolutely. Please. Can you please just play like you're 7'2"? And, he did that in the playoffs. And if you have a guy that's 7 feet and can play like he's 7 feet tall just based on that alone, and he's playing with a great point guard, yeah, I mean, I guess 15-12 is possible. I just don't see it. It really makes me struggle when you're picking somebody number one overall and they just have a glaring hole in their game. Like, his offensive game is such – you know, a number one pick should have at least be average at everything. You know, you can't have a below average offensive game and be the number one pick in my mind.
But can you get away with it in this draft? Is kind of the question I have to ask myself, though. Because, I mean, this draft of all drafts, can I justify going to get my defensive player?
Yeah, I mean, you can. And, I mean, the other thing is, not only is there not a clear number one pick, there's nobody like... And I wrote this when I picked Noel first in our mock draft. And, I mean, this isn't Odin versus Durant. There's no Durant in this draft. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
You're not going to be like, oh, yeah, you select Nerlens Noel, and all of a sudden, like, Trey Burke is, you know, Russell Westbrook, and now you suck. I mean, in my mind, Victor Oladipo is that guy, but nobody's talking about him as number one. And you wouldn't – I mean, if you take Victor Oladipo number one, people are just going to look at you sideways. And, I mean, I don't think – as much as I love him, I don't know if he's going to be a superstar in this league. I think he'll be a star. I think he'll be better than Nerlens Noel. But no, you're right. There's no clear cut number one, and there's no guy behind him that's really pressuring you to not pick Noel.
Absolutely. So real quick, my last little, and again, you know, I mean, you don't have to agree with me here. That's fine. I mean, you know, I'm glad that I sort of started to get into your head a little bit with it. But let me give you two guys in the leagues right now's numbers real quick. First of all, these are going to be both number one picks, and they're both big men. 13.5 points per game, 18.2 rebounds, and 1.8 blocks per game.
Is that career?
That's rookie season.
Oh, rookie season.
That's our first mystery player. He's a former number one round, number one overall pick. He's a big guy. The second one is 12 points a game, 10 rebounds a game. Those are both flat numbers. That's kind of weird. And then 1.7 blocks per game. Those are both number one, former number one overall picks.
Jeez.
In the NBA draft, and they're both big men.
I think the first one's Dwight Howard, and the second one's Andrew Bogut.
Okay, so the first one is Anthony Davis.
Davis averaged 18 rebounds last week. Yeah, sir.
8.2.
Oh, eight. I thought you said 18.
No, if he averaged 18, he's best.
For one, I was like, why is he bringing this up as a point if some dude averaged 18 rebounds this rookie year? It was crazy.
13.5, 8.2. And 1.8. That's Anthony Davis from last year. The second one was Dwight Howard, 12, 10, and 1.7. So, to me, if Noel can come in the league, and I don't expect him actually to do this in the first season because he's hurt and we're not expecting him to like at least February, but what about in his next season if he can go ahead and average 10 and 10 in two blocks a game? I mean, that automatically, to me, puts him in the same sentence with these two players to start out. I mean, you can't not.
I think the storyline should be if Nerlens Noel is going to be Derrick Rose back on the court. I think that's going to be a fun race.
I mean, we're obviously going to be looking at it. You know what? And Derrick Rose's whole – I think he affects sports with what happened this year. Do you?
I do. I think the ACL injury will never be seen the same, especially in basketball.
Is it weird that it happened – two completely different ways within the same few months? Like, Adrian Peterson defies it.
Right.
And just slaps the ACL injury right in the mouth. And then Derrick Rose is, like, put in a coma by it.
I think it was, like, if you think, like, 10 years ago, the torn ACL was like, oh, my God. Like, that was the injury where you were just he tore his ACL.
Never coming back.
And now we kind of look at it, like, the same thing with Tommy John surgery in baseball. Like, that was just Tommy John surgery, your career is basically over. Now, like, guys just come back from Tommy John surgery like it's nobody's business.
Stronger.
It's like part of being a pitcher. Like, yeah, I had my Tommy John surgery last week. Yeah.
12-year-olds get Tommy John surgery. Then they come back and they throw 85.
And that's how, like, the torn ACLs become, until Derrick Rose just, like, threw a monkey wrench in it. He's like, no, man, this is still a torn ACL, man. This is still serious stuff.
Watch him come back. Watch him come back next season, though, and he goes, like, 25 in tennis with.
You're like, is it serious, Derrick Rose? Because I'm pretty sure I just saw Adrian Peterson run over seven people with one knee. I'm pretty sure I just saw that.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous thing, and it's so weird that that happened in these two sports, you know, in such close proximity with the, you know, a guy completely just shrugging it off and then a guy completely just being, you know, put in a submission hold by it. And they're both, you know, superstar players in their own right, too, and it was just kind of crazy to see, and I don't know, I mean.
I think Derrick Rose will always be known as the guy with the torn ACL. Like, I think he's going to have a hard time coming back from that image. Like, I think it's really going to affect his image.
I think people
are going to look at Derrick Rose. They're not going to see him as the explosive MVP point guard. They're going to see him as the guy that sat out like 17 years with the torn ACL.
I agree with you. Last question, and then we're going to wrap this thing up. Who do you have more faith in suiting up for their opening game in the 2013-14 NBA season? Derrick Rose or Andrew Bynum?
Oh, boy. you had to throw YOLO Bynum in there, didn't you? Man, that's tough. I'm going to go with Derrick Rose. I think Andrew Bynum, first of all, you know my feelings about Andrew Bynum. I think literally any team that signs Andrew Bynum should just be contracted from the NBA immediately. Like, that should, it's like a trick, you know what I mean? It's like dangling it out. It's like, you know, like the fat guy running on the treadmill. Like, Andrew Bynum is the hot dog at the end of the treadmill that you're never going to get because you're on a treadmill. That's Andrew Bynum.
This is where the NFL gets it right, though. The incentive base, like, they need, like, he, you know what I mean? You should be able to sign him to, like, a max deal, but still be able to, you know, like, sleep at night.
Right. So if he averages, like, if he plays 12 games, you can give him $1 million. And, like, every game after that, he gets $1 million, basically. So he's never going to get $1 million.
Yeah, I want him to have to reach milestones to be able to make his money. So you can say, hey, you can make $15 million this season, but you're not making it if you, you know, go to Philly and sit on the bench all year sporting the most ridiculous haircuts I've ever seen.
doing the salsa in Brazil. Oh, I think, man, the problem with that in basketball, though, is you'd have a lot of guys that were just like, give me the rock. I need that money. Like, Andrew Bynum's just demanding the ball in the post when he's like quadruple teamed. And he's just like, oh, man, I need to pay off my dancing lessons. And he's just like trying to throw hook shots up.
I got to get a new bowling ball. Well, maybe a games played thing. You know what I mean? That wouldn't be so bad.
That's a good idea. I mean, that should be, especially for Andrew Bynum and Derrick Rose, both of them.
Or even special cases, because, I mean, there's other guys I can think of, too. I mean, Eric Gordon, he's another one. I'm convinced that guy's never going to play more than, like, 40 games again. Not in a season. It's just not going to happen. Some of these guys, and these are guys that are making a lot of money.
He's going to get off the bench, though. That one game that Eric Gordon does play, he's going to shoot 30 shots.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to score 25 points, and his team's going to lose by 30.
I had him on my fantasy teams like it was magic as soon as he was ready to come back. That guy was already on my roster. I had somebody emailed me. They're like, dude, you picked up Eric Gordon? Or did you just hold on to him the whole time? I'm like, I picked him up, man. I'm like, he's not going to come back and suck. He's shooting the ball. It's the Pelicans. I mean, it wasn't the Pelicans at the time, but I mean, who's going to tell him no on that team?
I mean, anybody that really names their team the Pelicans, they really don't have any credibility to talk to anybody about anything.
Absolutely. Well, that's about all the time we have for this Wednesday episode. I'd like to thank Frank Santos for joining me. It's been a good time getting the band back together.
Oh, yeah. We got to do it again.
Absolutely will. Hopefully next week for you guys, we'll have a little football on Wednesday. You can tune into our Monday show. It's going to be our NBA kick. And then look forward to our Friday show, which is going to be a little bit of MLB baseball. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in and have a great day.
We the sports king. Nobody do it like us. Kings of the sports list. Cause we tell it like it is. Yeah, we the sports king. So listen to us, we tell it all. From hockey to golf to basketball, we the sports kings. Nobody do it like us, kings of the sports list. Cause we tell it like it is, yeah, we the sports kings. So listen to us, we tell it all. From high school to college to pro ball.